Not me, not Hermione.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Neha.
I'm Afreen.
Welcome to Dramione Diaries. This is a podcast where we read and react to Draco and Hermione fanfiction. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Afreen.
Happy Thursday. Wednesday. Sorry.
What is time after Ramadan?
Happy recording Wednesdays.
I know. How has your Ramadan been?
It's good. And it's over.
It's over.
I was sleep deprived.
Yeah, you were not getting any eeps.
I was getting no sleeps until 6 a.m. every day.
That's crazy.
And now I can't fix it.
Oh, no.
I'm screwed, but it's okay. I keep forgetting that I can eat during the day.
Yeah, it feels kind of wrong.
Yesterday, like the first day after Eid, I ate at like after it was sunset time. Because I was like, oh, I forgot to eat all day.
Oh my God.
Oopsies. Damn. But it's a good month. Mm-hmm. It's a good reset. Mm-hmm. I was still definitely reading Dramione.
I can't believe you were.
Just not like crazy ones. I definitely wasn't reading like a BSAP.
I was rereading Twilight.
Oh.
Yeah. All of the series. Because I was like, this is PG enough for Ramadan. Oh my God.
Until you get to Eclipse and she wants to
fuck. Yeah, but nothing happens except for like the famous leg hitch.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Is that only in the movie?
No, it's in the book.
Okay. Wow.
Fans were like writing. They're like, this leg hitch better be in the movie.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And was it?
Mm-hmm. But like not like how we wanted it to be. It was only
none
for like 0.2 seconds.
None of those movies were how we wanted it to be.
Hey, K-Stu acted her heart out.
And our pads did not. I feel like our podcast is half Dramione, half Twilight. Twilight.
And half TikTok references.
Oh, yeah. Those are just a constant. But what episode are we on now?
We're on episode 15?
Oh,
is it 15?
I like that number. I think so. We're post-manacled. I don't know what's happening.
I just want to apologize. I feel like I haven't been on our social media game as much, but it's okay. I'm going to the UK though and get ready for some content.
Going to be fed.
Going to be in the land of Dramione. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this episode we're doing Lionheart by Green Teacup. And I was a hater, not of the fic. Like I saw the description when you sent it to me, and one of our Dramione friends sent it to us, and I was like,
last Ramadan, I remember. And I was like, I have to wait until Ramadan is over. Why would you give me a new Dramione fic?
I just like, so synopsis of Lionheart, the basis of it is that it's a Green Teacup is rewriting all 7 Harry Potter books.
Yeah.
Not canon, obviously. Like she's taking canon and she's
just remixing it.
Yeah. With the fact, like the alteration that Draco gets sorted into Gryffindor.
Yeah. But I feel like also Lucius dies.
Oh, yeah.
And before he dies, he.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Not really. It's the first line of the first chapter.
But Lucius dies, and before he dies, he like rats out everything to like get himself and Narcissa pardoned. So then he was murdered by Bellatrix. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that has a big part in Draco getting sorted into Gryffindor because he doesn't have
I have my theories his about dad. His sort into Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but basically, sorry, we're like rambling all over the place.
Yeah. No.
Lionheart by Green Teacup. We love it. It's 10 out of 10.
It's so good.
So good. And it's a work in progress, though. So.
Yeah. And what I was saying, well, we figured we would start this, even though it's a work in progress, because
it's so good.
It's kind of cool to follow along. And I feel like we've mentioned her updates.
This is my
previous
first
episodes.
Work in progress.
That's crazy.
And I feel like
never
my only.
Read them. No, so what I was saying is when I saw the summary or whatever on AO3, I was like, I'm not reading a Dramione fic where Draco's in Gryffindor. That makes no sense.
Yeah, because you think he's like a soft and it makes no sense with like the character that we read.
Right. But like you kind of, I'm so glad I like got over myself. Maybe because you told me to.
Yeah, I was like, you have to
I actually had no choice.
I actually was bullied into reading this.
No, Dempsey.
Sorry. Afreen's cat is eating.
You can't eat that.
The flower arrangement.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm so glad I took a chance on it. Definitely read it because I think we're going to keep up with doing like episodes about each book.
I feel like this like trope isn't as popular. Like I've never read another. Well, actually I have. It's called Like Brothers, but like from those, I've only read two tropes where Draco is in Gryffindor, because usually that's not really the popular trope.
Yeah.
If you guys feel like Draco being in Gryffindor isn't your trope of tea, your cup of tea, you have to read it. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's impeccable writing.
The writing is phenomenal. So good.
Green tea cup. I will literally, do you have a Patreon? I will pay for you.
I also think that it was really interesting because when my first read around pre-starting this podcast, I liked it. I wasn't fully invested. I specifically remember reading like a Quidditch scene in book three, and I was like, this is kind of great. Like, I was like in it and like visualizing everything. And I realized you kind of see her writing also like develop and like mature. And I feel like I don't know if that's her genius of like kind of writing in like the voices of 11-year-olds and then maturing.
Yeah.
And I feel like she has me.
Yeah.
She's so good. And I love how she characterizes everybody. She does not write very flat characters.
No, everyone is so like rounded. And I know that like we love Ron bashing, but I love Ron.
Love Ron in this.
So good. It's because she writes it so well. And like every day I check her Tumblr and I'm like,
I can't wait to hear your Tumblr facts about Green Tea Cup.
And she has like a Spotify playlist and I listen to that. Ooh. It's really good.
I should listen to that. First chapter.
We're standing at the...
It's pouring rain. Very classic
Britain.
British funeral scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a manor in the background.
Yeah. And Draco is 8 years old and he's just had to watch his father being buried.
Yeah.
Narcissa is obviously like the pinnacle of grace.
Yeah.
The perfect widow.
Yep. She probably has one of those veil things over her face.
No, she for sure does. Oh,
and yeah, gloves.
Mm-hmm. Lace, black lace.
Black lace gloves.
Yeah. Basically, it's like kind of so messed up how Draco kind of finds little tidbits as an 8-year-old about like what happened to his father through like the guest at the funeral, because they're like, oh no, like Bellatrix killed him, like have the Aurors found him.
And also he's on like Lucius is only out of Azkaban for like a year. So like Draco is 1 year old, 1 year old.
And then he was in Azkaban for 5 years.
5 years.
And then so then he's 6 years old. And then 2 years he had with his dad.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Obviously, like you expect it because they're all like rich and pure bloody. And so Narcissa's just like, you have to be strong. You're the last Malfoy.
She's putting a lot on him.
He's eight.
Yeah. Narcissa, please.
Your son is eight. But also she's like 20 something.
Yeah, you're so right.
And,
And so they're both babies.
Yeah, no, literally. Like, I put a note in our outline later about, like, when he's home from Christmas to talk about Narcissa's age.
Because she's like, I'm 32.
Yeah, I was like, you're what? you need to go back to school.
With Draco on the train. But he can't, like, grieve properly. Yeah. I feel like he can never really grieve properly.
And he gets the Malfoy signet ring. Yeah. She's like, gives it to him. It like doesn't fit on his finger. Are 8-year old's fingers like baby hands?
Yeah, I'm like, are they a little chonky?
Yeah. and he's like, he's not even crying, which I don't even fault him for. Like, he barely knew his dad.
But like, no, but I also think like the way that she describes it, where he's just like he can't understand the grief yet, but like he wouldn't feel like the presence of like his like father in the study or like someone watching over him when he's doing like his
math homework, like arithmetic or whatever. Yeah, true.
I think like that's like I think she writes that really beautifully.
She does, yeah.
But I also think like Narcissa being like they're watching and then gives him like the signet ring and is just like, you're the House Malfoy now. And I think that also we get to see the origin of like why Draco is the way he is.
True.
Is because of that like pivotal moment.
Yeah. And it just like kind of skips from there. Like next scene is like
September 1st.
Yeah. Like he's 11 years old. Later. Yep. Yeah. And they're like he's about to get on the train, like not letting his mom say goodbye.
Yeah. And it, like Narcissa's also just like, oh my God, they're leaving without you.
She's kind of funny, this Narcissa. She's got jokes. She's got a personality for sure.
I definitely love this Narcissa.
She's got layers to her.
Very, very layered.
kind of a bitch also.
Kind of insane. Later.
Yeah. She's a little bit insane.
Yeah. Just a little bit. I like the Draco versus Fred and George exchange. Like, I like the idea of Fred and George, like, helping first years on.
That was really cute. And they, like, help one, and they're like, all right, 10 pounds, like, 10 sickles or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, wow. The hustle's been there.
Yeah. And then, like, Draco's rude and then is like, apologies.
He's like, I said I didn't need your help. And then he's like, oh, no, my mother would kill me.
I have manners. I was raised in society.
Yeah. But also not really, because, like, didn't Narcissa kind of shut down?
Yeah, secluded herself and everything. But, guys, we finally get their first meeting.
First of all, he gets a compartment all to himself. Like, you really thought that was going to last? Like,
yeah.
There's, like, hundreds of kids on this train.
So sorry, Draco. I also, like, I'm just, like, what happens if you're, like, from the north of England? You have to go all the way down to, like, London to then go back up north again? Or, like, what if you're from Ireland? Like, I'm just so confused about, like...
Yeah, because the Irish don't have their own school.
No, they go to Hogwarts. So maybe they, okay, maybe that makes sense because they fly to London and then they go to, like, King's Cross and go up. But what if you're, like, from, what if you're from Edinburgh?
Well.
And then you have to take, like, a 7-hour train down.
Down, just to go back up.
A 9-hour train
just
up.
Just so that you're included.
Like, that's crazy.
And it's, like, funny because there's just one Hogwarts Express. Like, they don't have.
Wait, I'm an idiot. Maybe they flew into King's Cross and then they go up. But I'm still saying, if you're in Edinburgh, like, that would be so annoying.
Well, Narcissa's like, if you missed the train, you can just
flew from Snape's office. Yeah, he's like, I don't want to go from Snape's office.
Yeah. Just remember, he's 11 years old. And this is when you remember.
That's true. So he wants, like, his own compartment. Yeah. He's like, I want to sleep.
Like, wasn't he excited to sit with other Slytherins, like, on the train at least? Like,
I think
he,
like,
knew them.
I think this is where we get, like, the seclusion from.
Yeah.
You know, where he doesn't really know.
Sorry.
He does know, like, Crabbe and Goyle, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah, first of all, they have their first meeting.
Yeah. Like, bushy-haired girl is, like, fumbling into the compartment.
Catching her breath.
Also, she has to ask him, like, a million times if she can sit there. I'd be like, Hermione, you grew up in London. Like, just take a seat.
Yeah, you've been on the tube before, please. I like this quote where Draco says, frankly, she could have been anybody, except that she had the tone of someone very much used to getting her own way, either by hook or ingenious crook. Draco knew this tone very well because it had also happened to be his.
Yeah.
Like, I love from the get-go, like, the similarity.
But he's also just, like, annoyed.
Yeah. He's like, I wanted to sleep.
I'm like, you recognize yourself and you hate it.
She's like, I promise I'll leave you alone. Like, I just want to read my book. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
She's a liar because the second she sits down.
She will not stop talking. That's when I would be annoyed.
Yeah. She keeps asking questions about, like, I like that she's reading Hogwarts history.
History, yeah. I think she asked about Gringotts or something.
No, she asked about Quidditch first.
Oh, yeah.
And he flipped out. He's like, what do you mean you don't know what Quidditch
your
is?
Your parents have never taken. He cannot put two and two together that she's a muggle born.
Yeah, I think
it
he's
takes
so.
Him so long.
I think he's so isolated. He'd be like, they would never. Muggles don't know how to read. Like, he'd be like,
yeah. But he knows that, like, there's muggle borns that come to Hogwarts, no?
Yeah. He should.
I know, he should.
But, like, he finds out that her parents are muggles, and he's like, oh, so you're a mudblood. And she's like, yeah, I'm a mudblood.
So I think bad. Throughout book one, I'm like, wow, I, like, hate to see his prejudice because, like, you love his personality and he's still so, like, prejudiced and, like, racist or whatever.
Blood purist?
Phobic? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blood
But I think it's so realistic. I think it's true. So, and that's why, like, Hermione's also, and everyone's just like, you're such a cool guy. You're just so racist.
Yeah. Or,
like,
you're so prejudiced. Really
it's
mean.
So, yeah. And then he's just like, okay, don't call yourself that. and she's like, oh, it's a bad word.
Yeah. And he's like, I won't, like, if you promise not to tell the teachers that I said this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he says he'll give her.
I think
he's like, I'll answer more questions about your book or whatever.
I think like this is like after when Crab and Goyle come.
Oh.
Yeah, because Crab and Goyle come and it's so interesting to see them like bullying Draco.
I know.
But I guess like that's what happens when you don't have a dad.
Oh my God.
I like that anytime Crab and Goyle speak, like Draco's just like correcting their grammar and then Hermione does the same thing. Hermione's just like, I'm going to go grab Percy.
I like that she knows a prefect's name immediately.
Immediately. She's like, Who can I suck up to?
Yeah, she's like, who do I have to tell on?
Who will answer my questions?
Yeah, true.
But yeah, also we learned that someone breaks into Gringotts and stole nothing.
Yeah.
They just broke in.
Yeah.
And this is also how we get that Draco has like, you know, other than the Crab and Goyle, those aren't really his friends, but like he doesn't really see any other Slytherins. He gets introduced to Theodore Knott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like once they're already there.
They're like on the boats?
Yeah.
I really like that they're both just like, we lost a parent, let's shake on it and never mention it again. Yeah.
I liked Theo Knott when we first met him.
Yeah, I think he's so nice. I like how he was just like, oh yeah, my dad was like, he had no idea how Lucius could like bag Narcissa. Yeah.
He's also in love with Narcissa, Theo.
Yeah.
I love that too for him. Also, like, I like how he's kind of keeping an eye on, like, where Hermione gets sorted into. And he's like, obviously, she's going to go to Ravenclaw. Yeah, blah, yeah. Blah, blah. And she doesn't. And she's like,
Gryffindor.
I think he, like, feels a type of way about it. Or I think he's just like, interesting. I think it's like, well, I'm never going to interact with her there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good riddance.
Mm-hmm. And then the sorting hat is placed on Draco's head and it's taking the longest time. Mm-hmm. And I like how he sees Hermione and he's like, she's doing a strange gesture of like a thumb up in the air.
Just like, what does it mean?
Beaming away to him. But I also think it's funny that the sorting hat is not resting until Draco says something Gryffindor-like.
Yeah.
He's just like, why do you want to be in Slytherin? Oh, that's so boring. Like, don't you want like anything else? Like,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's like probing.
He's like, just put me in Slytherin, please.
And he's like, you stupid ratty old hat. And the hat is just like having like
the time of its life.
Yeah. So much patience. And he's like, no, tell me why. And he's like, I want to be
like my dad.
Like my dad. And he's like, no, that's boring. Tell me why. Okay, I want to be the best Malfoy like, ever.
I want to be one of the greats.
Glory. And glory is like a really big Gryffindor trait.
Mm.
So he's like, Gryffindor. And then Draco's just like, frozen.
Dear God, what am I supposed to do? I like Narcissa, but I really like Snape in this thing.
Snape is so fun. I love him.
I think he has a lot of
personality.
Like, yeah, like and he's not just a dick to Harry because you see him through
his godson's clever, eyes. Yeah. I like his involvement in Draco's life because he's not like
just his teacher.
Just his teacher. He is his godfather, but he's not like an overbearing godfather either.
No.
You know,
he's actually really strange.
And he's so funny,
but he did really have like a great response to the Gryffindor sorting. Like he does a slow, like obviously the whole, like everybody knows Malfoy and everybody who doesn't know the Malfoy name is like picking up on a weird vibe for sure,
right?
And like Snape is just like starts like a slow clap. I'm like, great answer actually.
It's also so interesting to see Harry through Draco's eyes. Like, he's just, like, Harry Potter was, like, this really, like, twig. Like, you see him, like, kind of emaciated.
Yeah, scrawny.
Scrawny. He has, like, little hollows under his eyes. And, like, the scar, I really like the description of it. Like,
I forget what he said.
It's, like, it's not, like, the typical lightning bolt. It's, like, how lightning looks, like, through our eyes where it's, like,
jagged.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Should I show you a picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, like when someone gets hit by lightning.
I think those
instead
are
of
scary.
Like a jagged thing. Yeah, and so it's really interesting to see, like to reread Harry Potter kind of in like another character's eyes because like we know we don't really like get that otherwise.
I love like I also like Harry's personality in this. Like
he's way more sassier.
Really well, and like I like that. Like anytime that like Draco's like, yeah, I'm an orphan, but like whenever he remembers like how Harry's childhood is, it's just like he actually does feel so bad.
Yeah. And I like that Ron and Harry still have like a savior complex, which I love. So they save Draco from being beat up by Crabbe and Goyle. Yeah. Like they still are not.
Like why won't they leave him alone? I think they're just like, yeah, we heard. They're like making fun of him. On like I don't even know how they found him. Like aren't Slytherin Dungeons in the opposite direction? Because all the first years are going to their dorms.
Yeah, they're going to their dorms, and then Crabbe and Goyle are like, psst. I know. And Draco for some reason follows.
Yeah, I'll come. What are you gonna say?
And Ron and Harry save Draco, and Draco's just like
he doesn't really react until they start talking about his mom, and that's when he like loses it because they're like your mom's insane or something.
And then Ron and Harry are like save him, they try to be his friend, and Draco's like not having it.
Yeah, and this is when you get like the like Harry being like, oh, like I think I can decipher the right sort of family on my own. Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, are you gonna say thank you? Just saved you from getting beaten to a pulp.
Yeah, I think like it's really nice that we don't see Draco like changing overnight just because he is sorted in Gryffindor and just because he gets saved by Ron and Harry. It's also so funny in the Gryffindor Towers where like the prefect comes and gives him like a Gryffindor tie, and that is kind of like the nail in the coffin. Yeah. And he's just like staring at this tie.
What am I gonna do with this?
I know.
They're like, do you know? He's like, who doesn't know how to tie a tie?
He's like, everyone respectable knows how to tie a double Windsor by the time that they can like have dexterity in their hands.
I also thought that like the next chapter after him like in Gryffindor Tower, like I thought he would be running to anywhere to be like, get me out of Gryffindor. And he kind of just like resides doesn't do himself that. Yeah, into... he's like dreading the writing to his mom about it.
Yeah.
But otherwise.
But like, I think he's like 11. What is he going to do? And like Snape didn't do anything. He just clapped.
Yeah, true. I guess I thought that like his entitlement or whatever would have him running to like Dumbledore and being like, put me in Slytherin.
But I think that comes from like, wait till my father hears about this, and he doesn't have that.
Oh, true. You know? Yeah, that's actually such a good point. Yeah.
But that doesn't like lessen his hatred for Gryffindor. He also hates Herbology, and he's just like, and he tries to complain to McGonagall. He's like, it's undignified.
I have dirt under my nails. I can't even shower between classes. Like, I'm sweaty. I'm disgusting. You know what? I
feel it.
I would feel the same way. Yeah.
But I like how McGonagall's like, do Scourgify. She's also not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a wand. And obviously you're smart.
You firsty.
No, literally.
His only friend is Hermione, but I don't think he realizes that. He's just like, she's just always sitting next to me and always was.
Yeah. And he's like, I hate it. She won't shut up.
Yeah. And then like Dobby gives him a gift.
Oh, yeah. I love how he's, like, writing him notes and Dobby's, like, obsessed with him.
Dobby is so sweet.
He's so cute. And he's like, we is missing you.
I know. But Draco's sad that it's not his mom. And he, like, throws a little fit.
Yeah.
And Snape is like, here's your letter. Like, wipe that little
frown off your face.
Yeah.
Snape is like, turn that frown upside down.
and this is where he realizes, like, his mom can't send him letters because the DMLE is, like, spying.
Yeah, I don't get. I'm so confused about the political element of Lionheart. Like, I'm confused AF.
So, like, I think in the end they say that it's not like anything specific that they're like
looking at,
but I think their family is just of interest because if they want to know like where found Bellatrix?
I don't think they found Bellatrix.
If they want to know, they can like track it through letters or I don't know.
Yeah.
We learned that Lucius gave a testimony revealing everything and he was pardoned and then he was killed a year later.
Which he was a snitch.
Yeah, we don't know up until this point. Yeah. The other thing that I like about Snape is that he's not completely a bully to Neville like he is in the books.
Yeah.
And
he definitely doesn't like him.
Yeah. But he's not like threatening to kill his toad.
Oh, like yeah, he true. That's true. Yeah. For sure. I'm trying to find what he says about Neville.
Draco?
No. After he gives his mom's letter or whatever, like, he talks about, he's like, well, I think he asks, like, what do you think about Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah. And he was like, do you think he's, like, spoiled? And, like, do you think he is cruel? And he was like, no.
Literally no. Like, actually not at all.
Yeah. One thing about Draco is that he's honest.
Yeah.
And so Snape is like, okay, you need a tutor Longbottom. And Draco's like, no.
No, it was funny because he goes, your housemate is abysmal at potions. And he goes, a hippogriff holds more talent for brewing in one feather than Neville holds in his body entire. Body entire. It's crazy. Imagine your teacher saying that about you behind your back. I would die. And he goes, if he keeps going in this manner, like, he's probably going to hurt himself and most probably other people.
So Snape is looking out for himself.
Yeah, he's like, I'm actually scared for myself. But yeah, he goes, like, you're going to start tutoring him.
And then immediately in the next chapter, like, Draco gets woken up by Neville, who's, like, so excited that Draco's like, I'm going to tutor you. How do we feel about Neville having a stutter?
I think, didn't he have one in the book, too? Not, like, a crazy one, but he was, like, is it a stutter or is he just, like,
anxious and nervous? Like,
yeah, can't.
Because he doesn't have a stutter otherwise, only when he's with Draco. Yeah. Draco's just so mean to him, poor guy.
I was like, he's 11. How scary is he to another 11-year-old?
To Neville?
Scary.
He's scary.
Very scary.
I like how we have the famous Levy Osa. Yeah, they're oh my God, it's so funny.
I like how, like, Flitwick is obsessed with, like, Hermione and just, like, throwing points at her left and right.
I love that. And I like how Draco is like, she said it a little wrong because basically Hermione's like, oh, he's saying it wrong.
Yeah.
And she said it, like, really loud. And Draco's like, she's not wrong. She did say it quite loud. And then she's just like, it's supposed to be Leviosa, not. And then, like, Draco says, like, Leviosa. Like, making fun of.
And he, like, tries to do Ron's accent. He's like, yeah, it was over exaggerated, but not that wrong.
And then they kind of, like, snicker.
And it's like, why is Ron so mad at Hermione, but not Draco?
It's always like that in this, right? I think it's, like, kind of just, like, getting made fun of a girl, probably.
Yeah, true. And he's like, you do it then. And she does it. But then I guess the part that's different here is, like, it's nice because they're going up the stairs when, like, Ron's talking shit about her. And, like, Draco's also – obviously, like, it's through Draco's eyes. So Draco hears it happen and it's, like –
And then Hermione hears and then she's like, excuse me. And she, like, you know, goes away. And then Draco kind of defends Hermione, you know?
What does he say? I'm going to find it. When Ron was, like, making fun of her, he's like, what? And then, like, Harry's like, just poor Harry, just trying to be nice to everybody. He's like,
yeah, I think she heard you.
Ron's like, what? You're dying to be friends with her or something? Like, bro.
Ron,
just because you're friends with Harry Potter.
Ron is, like, my social, you know, real estate is so high because Harry Potter.
Just Harry Potter. Yeah. And, like, I think, yeah, he asked, like, Ron that he's, like, embarrassed or whatever.
And he's like, oh, because, like, you wish you had Hermione's talent because then mommy would pay attention
to
you.
Yeah, and he, like, speaks. He speaks up because he's like, yeah, even if, like, whatever they're saying about her is right, like, nobody besides himself should be allowed to make, like, such remarks about her. It's demeaning to both of them. He's like, I can't have her get made fun of. Like, she's around me all the time.
That's true. Also, they're such, like, the same person.
Yeah.
Like, they were both making fun. And, like, they both are the only ones who can do the spell.
Yeah.
Anyways, like, Hermione is just, like, crying in the bathroom the entire day. And then Draco's just like, so she wasn't at any of the other classes. And he's like, at first, this is a reprieve. But then it got really annoying.
He's like, nobody else talks to me. Yeah. Like, it's just silent.
And he's just like, this is so embarrassing. Didn't she know that you would be left alone?
He's like, she's so selfish. Like, didn't she think about me when she was getting bullied and going into hiding? Also, like, it's funny because he's like, he's like realizing that nobody really talks to him because, like, he's just, like, so sullen and, like, crabby and cranky all the time. Yeah. And he's like, she's the only one who doesn't notice or
doesn't care.
No, he's like, it's that she doesn't notice, which is highly possible because she has the people skills of a sea sponge. Just, like, even in his head, he's just gotta say
it's so good.
He just gotta stay insulting her.
And then Lavender and is it Padma or Parvati?
I think Lavender and
Parvati
are talking.
And they're just like, she's just in the... I like how Lavender has the Valley Girl accent.
Why does she have that?
in my mind because she brown. Says like all the time.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, basically, like, they're just like, oh, she's just been crying all day. Like, if I was her, I mean, like, Ron did say everything that we were thinking, but like, blah, blah, blah. And then Draco's just like all huffy and puffy and he grabs like sandwiches
and a pear.
And cute. He's like, you said girl's bathroom? Okay. And she's like, what did he say? He was just like, not all of us are thinking that, Lavender, but thanks.
Yeah. He goes, and Weasley didn't say what we were all thinking or something. Like, it's funny because this way, like, since he leaves now to go find her, like, you never hear the troll announcement or anything.
Yeah.
So he's just like in the bathroom and he's like, she's like, you're in the girl's bathroom. And he goes, I know. Yeah. He's like, this is ridiculous. Get the fuck out.
He's like, Hermione, get up.
Girl, get up.
And I like how they have the little exchange. Yeah. I feel so bad. Hermione like hasn't eaten all day. So she's just like
scarfing down her sandwich.
Like chew and
Why
swallow.
Why did he only bring her like one sandwich?
He also wanted to punish her. And he's like, chew and swallow, yeah. Granger. Who are you raised by? Oh, Muggles, don't answer that.
He's so rude, but he makes me laugh.
Yeah. And then he's just like, it's okay. Like, you're all of those things that they say, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. He like, doesn't know how to make her feel better.
He's like, she's like, you don't think I'm a horrid know-it-all? He's like, no, you absolutely are
horrid. And more. And more.
Yeah. He goes, what's more? You're stuffy and stuck up and moralistic. It's like, bruh. She's going to drown herself in this toilet.
Oh my, imagine you just hear like Moaning Myrtle just cackling.
She, instead of Harry, she's in love with Draco and Lionheart.
And then all of a sudden, like, there's like this putrid smell comes in because the troll comes into the bathroom.
Ugh.
And how did that troll climb two flights of stairs? Tell me right now.
Oh, no, yeah. I guess it just needs to take two steps and it's up a level.
I like that Draco immediately like goes into the stall with Hermione and he's just like, I'm going to die in the girls' bathroom with Hermione Granger. Like, this is
the end of the Malfoy line.
It's like, I'm so embarrassed.
This is where it ends.
And then all of a sudden Ron and Harry come, obviously, and they start like hitting the troll with like,
yeah,
things that are fallen on the ground.
Yeah. Also, this is where he's like, one thing about Weasley, he's like kind of stupid, but he really goes for it. Yeah. Ron just starts throwing stuff with like zero plan at this troll. That is kind of dumb.
And then the troll gets distracted and Draco's like grabbing Hermione like, we gotta run. And Hermione's like, no, we have to help them.
He's like, no, we don't have to help them. Remember that they were just so mean to you.
And then I like how in the end it's like Hermione, like she knows what to do, but she can't like do it. And then Draco's the one who says the Wingardium Leviosa.
Yeah, and he like hits the troll in the head, or the same thing as the movies, but as the book.
I really like it. Yeah, it's a nice rewrite.
I like that they also like plead their case to McGonagall, being like, no, like, yeah, you're docking points for this, but like, we also look at all this charm that we just did. And then Hermione's like, no, it was my fault.
And also, it's just like, I'm sorry, how many first years can take a troll? Hello, give us some credit.
True.
And they only get 5 points worth of credit. I get it.
Yeah, I would be kind of angry.
Anyways, this is like a turning point for like the quartet.
He's like, I thought it was going to go back to normal, but now they're all trying to be friends with me.
He just won't have it.
Yeah, he's just like, I hate this. But then he's like, one day he like forgets his bag or whatever at the hall. And he's like, oh my God, I have to go back from class and go get it. But Harry walks in and he's like, huh, I have your backpack.
Forget something, Malfoy. Yeah. And it's so funny because that's how he kind of like lets Hermione into like his little
circle,
which is just him. Because
his circle of one.
Yeah, because she like wakes him up and is like during like history of magic.
Yeah, because he has like given his homework.
Yeah.
And she's like, she is a little useful sometimes. Yeah.
And so I like how Harry and Ron are unrelenting as well. Like, they're just like, no, like, we're gonna be friends. Yeah. And they keep sitting with him and keep like including him in things. Yeah, and Draco's like, just like overstimmed.
He's like, I didn't ask for this.
My favorite part about like Draco and Snape interaction is like when Draco's just like, every single time I like tell Neville to do one thing, he says he understands and then doesn't do it. Yeah. And then Snape is like, yeah, welcome to teaching.
You know what? I feel like he makes a good point.
I think this is when Snape asks, like, do you think, what do you think of Harry Potter?
Oh, is this when he does? My bad, yeah. And he's like, I think he's regular.
Another thing about how we like Ron in this is I like that Ron and Draco are like the two like character foils of like the two pureblood, you know, pureblood kids who come from different families. But the thing that unites them is Quidditch. And they're talking like strategy. It's so cute to hear them talk like that and have that like friendship.
He like, I think he like ignores Ron as much as he can, but then like he's still 11. And when he hears something he has to like respond to, he can't keep his mouth
shut. Chime in. Draco notices Harry just like staring wistfully the thing. Draco sees, like, feels really bad for Harry because he's just like a fully wizard child being raised by these heathens of muggles.
Yeah, I think he's like, these muggles should have been, like, I can't believe they like, were so horrible to him, and also like they should have been, it's Harry Potter, they should have been like
worshiping
at his feet and like carrying him around on like a throne.
I'm like, all right, Draco.
And I'm like, okay, whoa.
But like it's also sad, he says something like, oh, I wish my dad, you know, rode brooms with me. You know?
Also, is this one Draco's like, he doesn't know what Disney World is, but it doesn't matter. Like, if you're taking one of your kids, you should really take the other one.
I know, Draco's just like, another point against Muggles.
Yes. They excluded him from Disney World.
Yeah, because Harry said that they went to Disney World and they left him behind and they said that he had to regrout the shower.
Yeah. That's so sad. I feel like here, more than in canon, in Lionheart, the way she like portrays like the little details like this about Harry's life, like, gets me right in the heart, bro.
I know.
I actually am like so sad for him.
And it gets Draco in the heart too, because Draco's like, he wakes him up in the middle of the night and he's like, socks on and your cloak, it's gonna be cold.
Zero introduction.
And I like how Draco also writes, like, one thing about Harry, he's always game. Yeah.
I like that also. And he just like, I think it's just because he like learned Alohomora recently. So he's just like, yeah, I can break into the Quidditch brooms now. Because
he's just like a little nerd like Hermione and he's read through the charms textbook.
He just finds new creative ways to apply himself.
But I do feel like, I'm just like, how not safe is this?
They're fine. I think it's a little mean. It's not safe for
the brooms. Like, they just locked it with like a portus that you can just say like Alohomora. Yeah,
nobody's gonna steal our brooms.
That's true.
I guess that was the thought.
Yeah, but. And then they race on brooms, and I like how you see like Draco's really good, but then Green Teacup still writes that Harry's just better because he's just like nimbler and like faster than Draco.
He just has a natural skill.
Yeah,
I like how they're racing and like. He's like, I'll bet you 5 sickles for this. And Harry's like, I'll bet you 10 sickles. And he's like, okay. And he's like, Draco's still about to win like the 5 laps or whatever. And all of a sudden he's like, Harry Potter's like damn near perfect, like flat on his broomstick, like racing by him. And he's like, you cheated. Even though he started out cheating.
Yeah. And then he's like so salty. And then they almost get caught by Mrs. Norris.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is where they, like, Alohomora, the, like, other door that had the three-headed dog. Yeah. And then Draco sees the trap door.
Yeah. And he's like, what the hell is this dog doing here?
And then he comes out, and then they have detention with Quirrell. I literally forgot he existed.
No, literally me too. He doesn't have a stutter, does he?
No.
Yeah.
Anyways, they have detention with Quirrell, and then, like, Draco is saved by Snape.
Oh, yeah, at detention, like, and he just, like, leaves Harry. First of all, like, if a teacher gives you detention, like, why did Quirrell give them, like, lines and then just leaves?
Because he touches Harry and he gets burned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. And then, like, Snape comes and takes Draco, but not Harry. Like, he's such a dick, bro. But also, like, now when they're walking together, I have, like, no idea what is going on because they overhear
Dumbledore and Cornelius fudge talking,
but on purpose because Snape like purposefully takes them through like a little passageway corridor thing
that makes their cloaks all dusty.
I guess like it makes more sense throughout the next couple books, but I think they're talking about like I think Fudge wants Dumbledore support in some elections or whatever, because it brings over like a bunch of other groups that like, mm-hmm. you know, follow behind Dumbledore, and like Dumbledore is like, I'm not gonna do that or whatever.
I will say I like how more politicky
it's very politicky, and I don't have the skills to follow.
I know. I think like with this reread, I need to actually like follow along and stuff, because it just makes the world more like richer, because the canon is just like, oh, Cornelius Fudge doesn't like Dumbledore, and like that's it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like this one, we get more layered to it.
Yeah. And there's like lots of like propaganda and like strategy.
Yeah. I like how Snape talks to Cornelius about like a blood pudding. And in the end, Dumbledore is just like, yeah, Cornelius is a vegetarian. And then Draco just starts laughing.
At first, I thought that was like a metaphor for something. Or is he actually a vegetarian?
No, I think he was actually a vegetarian. Okay, just checking.
And then like Fudge is gone or whatever, and so then like Draco and is just standing there with Snape and Dumbledore, and Snape's like, why is your robe so dusty? Like 5 points from Gryffindor. He's like, fuck.
He's like, your cloak is equally dusty because we went through the same passageway. Yeah. And then that's like, how he gives him his mom's letter.
Yeah, because he takes his cloak and like cleans it off for him. I think she's just like, I forget. Narcissa writes really weird letters.
Draco, my darling mummy sunshine. You know what I mean?
I hate it. I feel like these next three chapters are just like the entire.
Yeah.
Like this is all the meat and potatoes of the book.
I like that like Ron is so good at chess. He's just like having a full-on conversation, or can have a conversation. And he pauses and he'll be like, rook to g9. Like just. Exactly. He's so good. And Harry's just like deflated.
Yeah, and he's like, what kind of dents do your parents fix to remind you?
No, I like how he says, what do your muggles do? Yeah.
Like, please. I also, I'm just like, she's just fine. Like, it's either that she cares. I know she cares about him, like, liking and, like, convincing him on liking muggle things. But I'm just like, he's so rude about your parents. Yeah. And you're just, like, letting it happen.
Hermione, please.
But yeah, she's just like, they fixed teeth, and he's like, well, then why haven't they fixed yours?
It's so rude.
So mean. I'm like, how bad could her teeth be?
Oh my honestly. God, I feel so bad for Hermione.
I feel so bad
for her. And she's like, we're getting braces next to her. And I like how Ron is like, have you heard of the wizard and the bottomless pit? Yeah.
He's like, listen. Let me tell you an Arthur Weasley special. And I don't remember the whole thing, but he's just making like a point that Draco keeps putting his foot in his mouth and it's just not getting better.
No. And then Hermione's just like, here's my address if you want to write to me, and like, I guess I should have your address. And he's like, okay. And he just writes Malfoy Manor
at Wiltshire.
He's like, there's only one Malfoy man.
Yeah, because they're going to separate for the break. Yeah. And she was like, okay, I guess I'll just have to mail it to you. And he's like, I think the last time we got muggle postage at the manor was like in the 16th century.
Oh, that's so funny. Anyways, we see Narcissa. She's back.
Yeah.
And she's like, We hear from Draco's perspective that, like, she is a little bit of a mad woman, because that's what the papers write about her.
Also, like, how did he get home? Like, he got to the Hogwarts.
Hogwarts Express, and then he took another train to Wiltshire.
He just, it dropped him off right in front of the manor. There's that little walkie thing in Wiltshire. Like, she didn't go pick him up.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Anyway, she's 32.
No, literally, because he's like, go lie down. She's like, you lie down. He's like, you need to lie down. She's like, I'm 32. I'm not 60. And I'm like,
oh my God.
What do you mean you're 32? So that 32? Means
that she had Draco when
like
he
21.
Was.
Or like, or like, like 20. That's insane.
Damn.
And her husband, like, went to jail when she was like 21, 22. And she got him back at like 27, and then she 28.
She was a widow.
And then she was a widow at like 29.
Oh, rough. Damn.
That's, Narcissus had a life for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, like, Draco just wants to like mother his mother.
Yeah.
And she's just not having it.
Yeah.
Dobby.
And she like snaps at him also. Oh yeah, Dobby's so excited. Also, I like how she's like, yeah, after you left, Dobby had like a little manic mourning period and started making ice creams out of everything. It's just the way that she gives every single character like depth to their personality, mm-hmm, like Green Teacup. I love that about her.
Yeah.
And then he wakes up to like Christmas morning and like, the first present he opens
is Hermione's.
Yeah.
And she gives him a book on Thucydides.
I looked up how to pronounce this last night.
Is it Thucydides?
Thucydides. Yeah.
Thucy,
for sure.
Thucy. And then she also gives him a Cadbury chocolate bar. I like how he's just like, it is kind of good.
Yeah, he's like, it's nothing like insane, but like, I kind of get why she keeps going on about it.
I like how he writes like, I'm going to send you with Ulysses. Yeah. So that you can see what a proper owl.
He also like he writes her a thank you note and he's like, oh shit, what should I get her? And he's like, I'm enclosing a check for 10 galleons. Crosses that out.
15 I'm galleons. Enclosing crosses a check that for, out.
I'm going to bring her a present to Hogwarts. Doesn't give it to her until like June. I'm like, come on now. And then also like, he's like riding. It's a cute because he's then you're like, oh, he's 11 again because mm-hmm. like Narcissa gets him like a Nimbus 2000. He's like riding the whole day. And then
he gives Dobby an orange.
No, that pissed me off. That pissed me off.
And then she's just like, I'm going to add it to my collection. Yeah. And Narcissa's like, oh, my God, is that what it is?
That's what the smell is coming from these cupboards was. Like, poor, Dobby's obsessed with him. And it pissed me off also when, like, earlier in the story, he's like, yeah, he used to make Dobby do, like, whatever he wanted. Like, and whenever he won a game, which he probably cheated on against Dobby, he'd be like, tell Dobby to go, like, punish himself by, like, sitting in a closet for, like, hours. And then halfway through, he would, like, go and check on him to make sure he was still there. I was like, you're a little shit. That's crazy.
At the end of the day, he's still Draco Malfoy.
Yeah. To be fair, he was an only child and like zero rules.
But like back to what you were saying about him being 11, it also really showed when Snape gave him like a present and it was his dad's like lighter. And like he just lit everything for the rest of the night.
He lit the candles on the dinner table, lit things on fire underwater. And I'm just like, okay, I hope you had fun with that. Also, it's really cute when like it's snowing and him and Narcissa make a snowman.
Yeah,
and she's like, "It looks disgusting." I love it. Also, I think it's crazy that Narcissa's like our age and just like a couple years older than us, like 4.
Don't age us, please.
That's crazy. They like, imagine she has
our
an 11-year-old.
Don't need to know.
An 11-year-old.
Anyways, like just when we think like Narcissa is like
cool AF,
yeah, she wakes up and she thinks. She's having an episode and she thinks Draco is Lucius.
Well, it's in like that hall of like all the portraits and the husbands are facing the wives and she like peeled back Lucius's portrait and there's nothing across from him, obviously, because she's still alive. But yeah, and she looks at Draco when he finds her there and she's like, Lucius, is that you?
She's like, mother?
Isn't he like 3 feet too short or something?
Yeah.
And she just kind of has a little break.
And then she's talking to Bella as well. She's like, don't leave me.
She's like, well, like she runs away from Draco, like screaming about Lucius, runs around the house. And then why does she think Bella? And I'm just like, are you in contact with her? What's going on? Yeah. She's like leaning over her balcony.
I know. It's so scary.
That's crazy. Like your 11-year-old son is just like, what do I do with this? That's so scary. Actually.
And then like he makes Dobby like, you know, put her to bed and then it's just like did this happen before and it's just
he's
so
mean to Dobby also because Dobby's like, I can't tell you anything. He's like, you actually can. And then he's like if you don't tell me, like I'm gonna make you like iron your hands or whatever. And I'm like, bruh, I know you heard that from your dad the 2 years of your life that you saw. But yeah, he's just like, she just sometimes like takes her clothes off and runs all around the manor screaming nonsense. I'm like, oh my God, Narcissa.
That's so sad.
Pull yourself together.
Oh my God.
Are you okay? I think he's just like, tell me if that ever happens again, but we're never going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Love that. And love that idea for sure.
Then he comes back to Hogwarts and Snape is, quote, sick.
Yeah.
And also previously he noticed like the little limp on his leg too.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Like one of their meetings, like his ankle was like bloody. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's like back with Hermione and Harry and Ron. And like I liked how like I feel like it's such a process in book one canon for them to connect all the dots, blah, blah, blah. But like with how smart, I think it's nice also because it's like he's so smart. And then Hermione's also so smart. And then Percy's just kind of around. So all together, like in one sitting, they just figure out that like, oh, okay, like, what was stolen? Nothing was stolen out of Gringotts. I wonder what's being protected here. And then, like, Quirrell is actually a really good teacher because Quirrell replaced Snape.
Quirrell worked with Nicholas Flamel, the famous alchemist who made the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, and like, where's the Sorcerer's Stone? We have no idea. Who would ever want it again? I don't know, maybe Voldemort. And then they're like, I wonder what it kind of things could be protecting it. Who's Nicholas Flamel's friend? Oh, Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, we figured out the entire premise of the Sorcerer's Stone in an afternoon. And then, like, I just like that they figured that all out. And they're like, oh, I wonder that if that's what the three-headed dog is protecting. But it is interesting. I was realizing, like, Hagrid's not, like, you know, a feature in this.
Yeah, because Draco would never go and meet Hagrid.
Yeah. And I kind of missed that a little bit. Like, do they get closer to Hagrid later?
The next book, he, like, meets him. Yeah.
Okay.
But Snape is missing. And he's not even coming back for the end of term. And like the only two people who are sad is Draco because that's his godfather and Hermione because he's such a good teacher.
Yeah. And Quirrell kind of sucks at teaching potions. And also like Draco's just like trying to write to like Snape and like putting letters under his door being like, can you please come back? Like I can't even talk to my mom if you're not here.
Yeah. I feel so bad for him. And he like keeps lighting like candles that Dobby gave him because it reminds him of the manor.
That's really cute. What a great gift. Mm-hmm. From Dobby. I think that's what he got him for Christmas. And he got an orange.
I know.
I'm so mad.
I know. Anyways, like, so Draco's just, like, really pissed about, like, not seeing Snape and not, like, hearing from his mom and everything. Mm-hmm. And so he takes it out on poor Neville.
Yeah.
And he's so mean to Neville.
Yeah, he's actually horrible to him.
He doesn't need to be that mean.
Well, he's always mean to Neville, but now it's cruel. Like, yeah, because I think Neville was, like, look, I just can't focus on certain things.
I think he's trying to say that I have ADHD.
No, literally, in my head as I'm reading this, I'm like diagnosing him. I'm like, you have ADHD. And he's like, my dad was the same way. My grand says that too.
So your dad was also a spastic. Oh, what's wrong with
Why
you, Draco?
Why did he say
you
that?
You can't handle anyone saying anything about your Death Eater of a dad.
No, literally. And then he just like also doesn't back off either when he sees that Neville's like, this is the one time when Neville's like, bruh.
Yeah.
Don't say that about my dad.
But this is like kind of how Draco gets to finally like, because he's never allowed to feel his feelings as well.
True, yeah.
So unfortunately, this is how outburst, he lashes out.
He also learns, this is where he learns that like,
Bellatrix.
Because he thinks that Neville's dad is dead.
Yeah. He's like, he's not dead. He's in St. Mungo's. And your aunt put him there.
You know what he needed to know.
Yeah.
Maybe not at 11.
I like that he even notes, Draco notes that he like turned off the cauldron the right way.
And also like I think he does feel he learns about the Bellatrix thing and he kind of like feels it like a punch to his gut.
Yeah, but Fred and George are a little, you know, gossip mongers and like they spread what happened.
Like did Neville just go and tell them?
I think
maybe he was crying.
Maybe they like overheard him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then so no one in Gryffindor is like
speaking
to him except for Hermione. But then even then she's like, well, I miss Harry and Ron. And I like that she kind of like yells at him and it's just like all you have to do is say you're sorry.
Yeah.
And like that's it. But you don't want to do that. And like I know you're sad about Snape, but like no one likes a bully and no one cares about like why they're a bully.
I highlighted that in the book because I was like, she's like, look, I know you have a lot going on. And like, she's like, I'm like listening to her talk. And I'm like, you have a lot of emotional maturity for an 11-year-old.
Yeah,
like,
more than a teaspoon.
Recognizing that he is upset about something else, like channeling his anger towards there. Like, and she's like, I know it's hard for you to apologize or what. I'm like, wow. Like I learned how to take accountability for my actions like last year. Where'd you learn all this?
Because a professional had to tell you.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. After some therapy.
Dumbledore is like, yeah, Snape's not coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And then Draco,
I like how he just announces it at dinner one day.
Draco like crashes out.
Crashes out, bro.
Banging on Snape's drawer. Banging on Snape's door.
Yeah.
And Quirrell finds him and is like,
He's not here, babe.
Can you imagine like Snape coming back after he's like healthy and he just like tries to open the door and there's just like all of Draco's letters?
Like, why are you breaking up with me?
He's like, oh my god, Draco. I didn't know Draco had like an anxious attachment style.
It's actually just really sad because you're just like, wow, he has no dad. Like, he's so attached to Snape.
Yeah, and Snape gives him, like, crumbs. No.
He's like, I'm not your father.
So then he goes and wakes up Harry and, like, wants him to be his accomplice to, like, yeah, sneaking into the infirmary. Yeah.
I like how he's just like, let's go.
And Harry's like, no, you're actually a dick.
Yeah, and he's like, who cares? Why are you still pissed about Neville? And Harry's like,
he's our friend.
Yeah. And also, like, I think that's so sweet that Neville was, like, going around singing Draco's praises. Yeah. Like, and I'm sure everybody was like, I don't know how you're saying that about Malfoy. Like, he's such a dick. But he was like, no, he's teaching me.
And I'm learning finally. Yeah,
And Harry's like, and Draco's like, but he wasn't. Like, he was still failing. And Harry's like, he doesn't care that he was failing if he was still felt like he was
learning. Yeah, something.
Doing better than before.
And then, he's just like, okay, fine. How about if you come with me, like, I'll apologize to Neville. And Harry's like, no, apologize. How
about you apologize to him anyway?
Because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And then by then, like, Ron wakes up and he's like,
oi. I love a Ron's oi. Like, I love it so much.
Hitch. And he's like, oh, you're sneaking in to see Snape in the hospital. And all right, I'll join.
Yeah, and then Harry's like, bring socks. It's going to be cold. Yeah. He's like, cheers, mate. Draco's like, I hate my life. Yeah. And they're like, no, we have an invisibility cloak. And then Hermione sees them leaving and joins. And Draco's like,
she's like, okay, I'll come. And he's like, no. I like how at first all three boys are, she's like, are you guys sneaking out all of the, no. We're not, what makes you think that Harry's like halfway out the portrait door? And she's like, no. Oh yeah, so then Hermione's on it, and so then all four of them under this cloak. I'm just like, wow. And one of them was like, yeah, it's just gonna make for some close quarters in there. I like how, like, they first they like check on Snape. They see him leaving like the infirmary or whatever, and then they like see Mrs. Norris. And I was laughing so hard when like Ron is just like, come on, can we kick her one time, please?
Like, we're invisible.
And then Draco's like thinking to himself, you know, I kind of want to do it. I'm like laughing so hard in this chapter.
It's so funny.
But then they like, it's like interesting because like it tracks, like obviously like in canon, like it's all about adventure or whatever, but it tracks with the way Green Teacup writes, like the whole like fight and everything, because like it makes sense that Snape would do most of the work for them and that they would try to back out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's taking care of Fluffy. And then, like, they only end up going down the trapdoor because Hermione's, like, screaming about going to get McGonagall and wakes that dog up. And, like, Ron and Harry just jump right in. Mm-hmm, and Hermione's like, all right, I guess we better follow them. And he's like, no, 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 no. We actually don't have to do that. But then, like,
She grabs his hand. And
she's
like,
okay, should we go together? Also, like, when she grabs his hand, he's like, yeah. So instinctively, he just, like, laced their fingers together. And I'm like, oh!
Even at 11, he's at romantic. 11. That's your wife.
Yeah, so he's just, like, together. And he's like, before he realizes, he's like, the Barmy witch just, like, jumped them both down the trapdoor. but, yeah, like, they don't have to, like, take care of the devil's snare.
The,
like,
chessboard is all done. The
chessboard's played. I'm like, wow, he plays a fast game of chess, Severus Snape. Also, they like figured
out. G9.
And then also, there's no room with the keys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to get on. Yeah.
And then, Green Teacup was like, I need to wrap this up. And you know what?
And I also, they're her. 11. Like, they wouldn't be able to do all that, I feel like, actually. Yeah.
I also feel like I can't imagine in which, like, Draco is just like watching Harry just grab this key.
No, yeah,
you know,
he would pummel him.
So boring for him.
Yeah, like, oh yeah. And then that last thing is like a little
room with a ring of black fire.
Yeah,
and potions and riddle and
one potion's drunk.
Yeah.
And then like I think like Hermione and like Harry and Ron are just like trying to figure out what the heck to do. And Draco is like looking at it like, I think this is just regular fire. I like how it's still Harry that like, it's like, I was paying attention on, like, day yeah. one of potions.
Snape is a pill, but yeah. I was paying attention.
Yeah.
And then they both, like, take off their cloaks and, like, extinguish the fire. And then Quirrell is in front of the mirror being really weird. And then they realize that it's Voldemort, and Voldemort is like, so he's like, Draco, my son, how could you be placed in Gryffindor? So sorry for you.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna make it all better, I promise. Also, it's so weird that, like, I think it was saying that, like, Quirrell's body was, like, walking backwards and, like,
like,
the knees were backwards. Gave me the heebie-jeebies. Also, I think, like, he, like, ties them all up except for Draco. He's, like, knocked Snape out at this point.
I guess, like, Voldemort didn't, like, hasn't updated his Malfoy, like, news, and he doesn't realize that Lucius, like, turned coat.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Or not turncoat, or that he was, like, he ratted them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then why would Voldemort, like, be merciful?
Well, even in canon, Lucius exchanged his prison sentence
Oh, that's true. And he was like, I was under the Imperius. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but also, I think, like, before he knows all that, he, like, finds Quirrell in, like, the forest.
Romania?
Yeah, in, like, the forest of Romania or something, right? He doesn't know what's going on with the Malfoys. But, yeah, so then, like, Draco's free. They're all tied up. And Draco's like, the only thing that kept me there is that, like, my godfather's here. I can't. He's about to run away.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I gotta stay. Because that man, like, held my umbrella for me. Like, shared his umbrella with me at my dad's funeral. Like, that's really sweet. But also, like, why... It was the only spell he knew, Defendo, to untie everybody.
I'm like, ow.
Yeah, he, like, sliced up Harry's wrists. And also, like, I like that Ron just kept his sword from, like, the chessboard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, I think Quirrell's about to, like, Avada them. Because he just, like, I don't really get the whole fight scene. I do think that, remember, like, Draco can kind of see in the mirror of Erised, and he sees like a blonde man standing in the doorway, and he's like, oh, I think that's just me. But I'm like, is that Lucius?
Is that your dad?
Maybe. I don't know. I think that's
Didn't he recognize his dad? I don't know.
He was 8. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be like up for interpretation. Like, yeah, so then, like, Voldemort's about to, like, Avada them.
Yeah.
And so, like, Ron just hits him in the head with, like, a sword. But and then
Ron comes in handy.
Yeah, Ron do be coming in handy in this one. And, like, they realize that, like, Harry's burning him. And so then, yeah, that whole thing happens. And then after everything, I think, like, when he unties Hermione, she's like, it took you long enough. And that sounds like a Renervate.
To Snape.
And what does he do? Oh, he stupefies Quirrell.
I think he could have done something better.
No,
I gotta tell him. You couldn't defend Quirrell?
I know. You have your 11-year-old godson using defendos like crazy, and you have a stupefy. But yeah, like, after, like, he does a stupefy and everything, like, Dumbledore's here, and he's, like, calling down to them. He's like, it seems that I'm a little too late, Severus.
And I like how Severus is, like, kind of pissed
about it. Yeah, he's like, something of a motif with you, Albus. Burn.
Damn.
But yeah, and then he just, like, all Dumbledore came to do was, like,
knock them out.
Yeah. Well, like, Dumbledore's telling them, like, oh, it seems like our young friends, like, have a knack for, like, arriving on time and, like, saving the day or whatever. And like, he's like, Professor, blurted out Granger, and he goes, bless her, she actually raised her hand. I'm like, babe, why did you do that? Don't embarrass us.
Like, at the end of the day, she's Hermione Granger. Yeah.
And then he, like, all Dumbledore came to do was make, like, a huge bright white light and, like, knock them all out.
Yeah. And then Draco wakes up and Dumbledore's talking to him. And also, I feel like this shows that if Dumbledore had just paid attention to Draco, like, I wonder how much difference that would have made in canon. Like, I think Dumbledore, really taking a shining to a student really affects them.
You know? True.
I don't know. They talk about Bellatrix. And this is where it kind of, like, confuses me, because Draco's like, yeah, my dad ratted everyone. My dad snitched and he got stitches. You know, like, he. and like, that's just how the blacks are. And Dumbledore's like, no, that's like.
That's your dad. And like, that's your aunt. And he's like, so, like, he betrayed family. Or something like that.
He was like, well, I think, like, him getting pardoned for himself, and you're like, your mom specifically, mm-hmm. like, grants him some familial fidelity, and Draco's like, not for the blacks.
Are you sure?
But Dumbledore's like, all right, like, I'll give you like a wish, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Or Draco's like, can I ask you for something or something like that? And then Draco really wants to be put in Slytherin, and Dumbledore is like, yeah, that's not, yeah. I'm not going to do that. And then doesn't he kind of reveal that, like, he's the one? Yeah, he's the one who put Draco in Gryffindor, yeah. Which is so interesting.
Interesting.
Again, if Dumbledore just cared about, like,
it's like he has, like, a plan.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, in canon, if Dumbledore had just, like, taken extra care to, like, the children who are the children of Death Eaters,
yeah.
I think it would have made such a difference, you know? True.
But it's like, how many, I think, like, especially when they're already in that Slytherin environment, it's like, how can you really do that?
But you can try to, like, disillusion the things a little bit and, like, yeah. undo the brainwashing. If that's going to happen, it's going to happen in Hogwarts, you know?
True.
It's like, you're always gonna think a Muggleborn is like beneath you unless you're like paired with a Muggleborn in potions, you know?
Right. Like, and also, like, this is when he's like, is the Ministry reading my mail? Like, is Fudge reading my mail? And Dumbledore's like, probably not him personally, but yeah, if you're putting mail out there, somebody in the Ministry might be interested.
Yeah,
because
they're
trying to track. He's so cryptic. Like, I'm so confused.
Yeah. I think because they're trying to track Bellatrix. Okay, is Bellatrix, she's not caught yet, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. So that's like
but
a really.
But it seems like he phrases it that the Ministry's doing it for Draco and like Narcissa's protection
mm-hmm.
from Bellatrix, question mark.
Yeah, but he was just like, it's not like she can kill him twice.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I like how like once Dumbledore leaves, he like Draco is just like pretending to be asleep and Hermione
yeah.
and Harry and Ron are just like trying to like be all up in his business and the only thing that gets him to crack is like she's like, I've been saving your homework and stuff. Like you can copy my potions answers if you need to. And he's like, oh, when hell freezes over is when I'm gonna copy answers for homework and potions.
I know. And then they're just like on his bed like exchanging candies and he's just like, I guess this is my life.
Yeah, he's like also like poor Harry, but just staring at them being like, I'm just trying to take it all in so I have something nice to remember. And Draco's like, well, that sucks. Get in here. You're embarrassing me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a great scene.
Yeah, and I also do like that like Harry has Ron. And then, like, Draco and Hermione have each other because, like, after they're off the Hogwarts Express, like, Ron only takes Harry to go introduce him to his parents and stuff. So it's just, like,
them
and,
together. Yeah.
Them two.
Yeah.
And she shakes his hand. She's like, well, give your mother my best.
And then he gives her an owl.
Yeah.
She's so excited.
And she's like, are you sure you don't want my address? She's like, I don't know how I'm going to get to an owl. He's like, well, you're going to use your own.
I know. It was so, what a great gift.
Yeah. Are they expensive?
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, I love that the owl, he's like, he would never admit it, but he kind of got the owl because it looked like her because
yeah,
it has like
heart-shaped face.
Yeah, like a white heart-shaped face and like
brown
light
eyes,
amber
yeah.
like fur around of it. But my favorite line is when he's like, she's like, you got me an owl? And she's like, how much did you spend on this? And he's like, well, Granger, I told mother, if we have to mortgage the manor, so be it.
He's so funny.
I'm like, why do you have such good jokes? You're 11. I'm like, who taught you to be so funny?
And then she's like, I know, I'll name him Thucydides.
Yeah, she's like, what is his name? He's like, you can call him whatever. And he's like, Thucydides? Like, that's the most pretentious thing I've ever heard. And my owl's name Ulysses or whatever. And she's like, Thucy for short.
Aw, it's so cute.
But she's like, it's his birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's like, it's your birthday. I got you something, too. He's like, no, I got you something because this is your Christmas I'm like, damn, it's a late AF.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, I had to pay it back, but with interest. But she's like, yeah, I had my mom go pick this up for you because I told her that like your parents couldn't afford. He's like, she's like, yeah, they went to the mall. He's like, what's a mall? Oh my god! I feel
imagine like, explaining them all to Draco Malfoy.
Yeah, she's like nervous to give it to him, and it's a little Walkman.
Yeah.
And throwback to Walkman.
That was before our time.
They're so old now, actually.
I know. And then she like gives him a little birthday hug.
Yeah. Well, first she like puts his the little headphones earmuffs. He calls them black earmuffs. And she's like, it's muggle, so if you like it, you have to admit that you like something with muggles. She like puts it on him, and then she just like throws her arms around him, and he's like, well,
oof.
He's like, I guess I'll just pat her back. And he's like, it was horrendously awkward but not altogether unpleasant.
nice. And then she presses play and walks away.
And I like that he's just like staring after this girl who like changed his life forever in the crowd. I'm like, what an ending.
I know,
it's so good.
And if you can see us, we are just like smiling ear to ear.
I'm geeked. I love this story. Like, I love how it begins. I love
it's so good.
I love that it begins and ends with her on Hogwarts.
I feel like that it has to be good. The writing has to be so good when like we're so invested and they're
They're 11.
Like, you know that the romance isn't gonna happen for a while. But yeah, like exactly. It's such a good story.
Yeah. And it's more so it's a Harry Potter fanfic. Like, yeah, it's Dramione, but I think it's like it's like a love letter to like canon. I feel like
it's nice. So good.
She honors like the original work.
She feeds us.
We know she's so good.
As mother, Brandica, I love her.
Please update.
stop stressing her out.
But I'm stressed.
All right, she's updated until the middle of book five.
Yeah.
So we're still on book five. But we love it. We love her. Next week, I think we're going to do book two.
Yeah.
I feel like we responded to a comment that said, yeah, we'll do the disappearances. Mm-hmm. And we had every intention of doing it, but like Ramadan ended and I'm going to the UK. So
yeah. And disappearances is so long. And it's like such a good fic. We want to do that one justice. So we need to make sure that like we got some notes.
Yeah.
Hella notes. I started disappearances again and I was like, wow. I forgot so much of what happened.
Yeah, this is insane. Same.
So yeah, that's coming for sure. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was this episode, Lionheart Book One. Hopefully you guys enjoyed and we'll see you next time. But Neha, do you think that we managed any mischief today?
We totally managed some mischief.
Nice.
Bye. Oh, wait. I forgot to say that Lionheart has... Green Teacup. She has so many playlists on Spotify. She has like a Draco Malfoy one, Hermione Granger, Harry Potter, Ronald Weasley, and it's just like so, and then like a Lionheart all together. So I think if you guys like, you guys should check it out. I think it's really cool. And then we get to see like what like Draco likes to listen to on the Walkman, so and also vibey.
It's the songs that Hermione sends him.
Yeah, okay, some of them, cool. Some of them, and then some of them are just like songs that represent Draco, like Daddy Issues by the Neighborhood.
Nice. I love that. Yeah. A look into his mind. There's also a podfic for Lionheart that's like obviously MNG
readings. Yeah, and I love their accent. So good.
I haven't listened to the whole thing. Sometimes I read it, sometimes I'm podficking my way through it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in case if you're interested. Anyways,
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening and being a part of this little Dramione book club. Please rate us, preferably 5 stars. And don't forget to click that little follow button to get a notification every time we post, which is every other Monday.
And make sure to check us out on social media where we create content quite regularly. Our TikTok is @DramionieDiariesPod and our Instagram is @DramionieDiaries. Bye.